This is Derek Crowe. He's a political director at Brave New Foundation, which runs the RethinkAfghanistan.com. How many people have seen the materials from Rethink? He's done communications work for Democratic Congress members on Capitol Hill and at the National Office of the Children's Defense Fund. His writing's been featured at Huffington Post, Alternet, and he blogs from a Christian nonviolence perspective at his own site, ReturnGood.com. Derek Crowe.
I think we're all just going to keep getting more humble as we go along here, because I got to say, the panelists on this stage, I'm absolutely fans of your work, and I admire you greatly. So it's a really great pleasure to be able to present with all of you. Like you said, my name is Derek Crowe. I am the political director at Brave New Foundation. I run the Rethink Afghanistan campaign. And I want to start by asking the audience a question. How many of you know the word Gardez? Okay, a couple. How many of you know the word Sangin? Okay, now, there's a reason I'm going to tell you the stories of these places, but the fact that you don't know about these two massacres that happened in Afghanistan points out the deep problem we have with the media in our country, especially with the international reporting. I'll start with Gardez, and there are some people in this room who did fantastic work, Democracy Now! And Al Jazeera and folks like that, that deserve our thanks for the reporting they did on these stories. But it was largely the shops like that and like Rethink Afghanistan that got the word out about these stories, and it was solely almost independent media. Gardez was the home of a man, is the hometown of a man named Commander Daoud, who trained with U.S. forces to become the local police commander in his town. One night, he and his family were celebrating the birth of a new baby boy into their family, and after the music had died down and after the people had gone to sleep, one of the guests had wandered outside about in the wee hours of the morning, and a flashlight was shown in his face, and this town is on the edge of Taliban territory, and instantly he thought, the Taliban are here to get us. So he runs back into the family complex, shouting, the Taliban are here. U.S. Special Forces with Afghan counterparts appeared on the rooftop to this family compound, and as Commander Daoud, who trained with U.S. troops, was running across the courtyard of that compound, was shot. When his brother realized that these were American forces and ran out of the building and said, don't shoot, we work for the government, he was shot. As he was shot, the three women behind them, two of them who were pregnant, were also hit. In the aftermath of that shooting, two of the people bled to death while U.S. Special Forces were refusing to allow people to go for help, for medical attention. While they did their best to hide the evidence of what they had done once it became apparent to them who they had shot. And that included digging bullets out of the bodies of the people who were there, one of whom was still alive. The bullets were removed from the walls, and the story that was fed up the command chain was that the U.S. Special Forces had stumbled across the executed bodies of women who were killed execution style by Taliban militants. Now, when an international reporter named Jerome Starkey began to report on this story, he was instantly smeared by NATO forces as an inaccurate reporter that did a smear campaign around Kabul to try to discredit him. And it took people like Rethink Afghanistan and Democracy Now! And folks in the international media like Al Jazeera reporting on that smear campaign to save that journalist's job and reputation in Afghanistan, but also to get that story into the mainstream media. And like you said, almost no one in the room had heard the word Gardez, but it was a massacre of one of our allies in Afghanistan that was then actively lied about in the U.S. media for weeks by NATO spokespeople in Afghanistan. The second place I mentioned is a place called Sangin. This is a town, or a region, excuse me, in Afghanistan that was so violent in southern Afghanistan that the British handed it off to the United States because it was costing them so many casualties. When U.S. forces moved in several months ago, there was a battle there that went back and forth across a civilian community. The elders and the leaders in the community sent the women and children from the community to a special building outside of town to hide from the violence. And a U.S. missile hit that building and killed all the people inside of it. And again, the military said that we hadn't killed anybody in Sangin, and that's just insurgent propaganda. And Rethink Afghanistan was able to get testimony from people on the ground to talk about what happened to help disprove that. And the reason I bring these up is that had any of these videos showed up on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, God help us, that already two-thirds of the American people already opposed this war. And we're seeing a very sanitized version of it. And if the true pictures and the true testimonies of this war were on our television every day, there would be a much deeper and more agitated opposition to this war. As it stands, about 4% of news coverage last year focused on Afghanistan. Now, out of that 4%, an enormous amount of that was generated by the PR efforts of the Pentagon. I'm sure in the middle of last year when General Petraeus took command in Afghanistan, all of you saw him on every television station talking about Afghanistan and how we're making progress. And actually, we did a little video montage of the 27,000 times he said, making progress, making progress, making progress. Which, by the way, Dana Perino back in the Bush years was also saying. And of the rest of the set, another large portion is generated by embedded journalists who, in many cases, are just airdropped in for a showcase campaign like Marja, Operation Mushtarak there. And because of that, you only get the perspective of somebody who's traveling into an area and is only safe because of the protection of U.S. forces around them. And that is an enormously distorting effect on the reporting that comes out of those situations. So when looking at this situation, Rethink Afghanistan, we decided that one of the things we wanted to do was to get reporting done by local Afghans in the words of the Afghan people affected by it out to the mainstream media, out to the people in America in spite of the mainstream media. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a quick video here of a behind-the-scenes video that we did that talks about the work of our team there, led by a very brave woman named Anita Sridhar. So just give me a moment, I'll cue it up. I'll actually show you a video instead of showing you the behind-the-scenes video. I'll show you the kind of video that we're actually able to get out of Afghanistan through Anita's work. Anita and her team, she calls her team Banana Leaf Productions. And what they've done is we've basically smuggled in handheld flip cams and digital recorders that aren't very easy to get into Afghanistan, by the way, because the local power structure there does not want unembedded media coming out of Afghanistan. And we recorded in the native languages there how-tos on how to use these cameras. And Anita's team then distributed them to local bloggers who want to report on the situation in their country. And so to set this up, when the Sangin and Gardez incidents were finally reported in the U.S. media, the way that reporting generally worked was there would be a guy standing there on CNN at CNN headquarters with just a map of Afghanistan behind him, describing what was happening. And if there was any live footage, it was almost always Department of Defense generated B-roll of just troops walking. And they would say things like, well, the U.S. forces admitted they accidentally killed these three women, and they've issued an apology. Now, compare that with the video I'm about to show you that was gotten out of the country by some of the people that Anita works with. And I should, viewer discretion, some of this is very graphic.
At this point, a video was shown in Farsi with English subtitles. Unfortunately, an English transcript of the video was not readily available. The video consisted of eyewitness accounts of the U.S. attack on the family compound.
ولی ما هرزمند استم که جامعه مدنی حقوق بشر سازمان ملل متحد با آه و فریاد ما برسه و این موضوع را پیگیری بکنه و بالاخره یک نتیجه را به دست ما بده.
Now that's the end of the video, and I'll stop it there. And I know we're right before lunch, so I apologize for ruining any of your appetites here. But this is what the Afghanistan war looks like, told in the voice of people in Afghanistan in their own language, with video that they took of their own. That party video you see at the beginning of this clip is the night right before these men died. And the man who's dancing at the beginning in the dark coat is Commander Dawood. There is no reporting like this in the mainstream media. It is places like Rethink Afghanistan, like Democracy Now!, like Al Jazeera. It's bloggers like the folks at Firedog Lake who are committed to this and want to show Americans the truth about what's happening in Afghanistan. One thing you also are not going to hear about is the cost to you. And that's something that we're focused on this week as tax day is coming up. If you go to RethinkAfghanistan.com, you can actually type in your income right now and get your bill for what you're going to pay on your income taxes to support this war. Now, I can't state strongly enough how vital it is that we support independent media in the United States, from the folks that are represented on this panel and around the other panels going on right now. Because otherwise, these pictures are never going to get in front of Americans. And you're going to continue to have a video game portrayal of drone strikes from 30,000 feet hitting things that look like ants on the ground and talking about how great it is that American troops don't die when that happens. So I'll turn it over because I know we're pressed for time, but I just want to say again that the panel that's been put together here is fantastic, and I'm a great admirer of everyone here, and I hope that everyone, when we leave this conference, will find ways to support independent media in their hometown and around the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek. We're running a little long. I'm going to ask Tim, where are you, if we could go over a little bit on our end time. Okay, since we're coming up against lunch. But